Today she is Masechta Makos Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Masechta Tes Zayin on the base, 12 lines from the bottom. We had learned in the Mishnah, Ochel Tevel Maiserishin. If somebody ate Tevel or Maiserishin, the Shlohitl Menu Truma Gedola, from which Truma Gedola has not been removed, those are cases that the Mishnah taught us. One is Chayiv, either Misa B'dei Shemayim or Malkus. Amar Rav teaches us Rav, Ochel Tevel Shemaisa Ani. Not only in a situation where Truma has not been removed is it considered Tevel, but even if Maisa Ani has not been removed, like it's considered Tevel. As we know, the cycle in which Trumas and Maisers are taken is a 7-year cycle, the 7th year being Shemitah, where there is no Truma Maisa taken. The first, every year, Truma must be taken. Midaraisa, Truma doesn't have a shear. Every year, Maiserisha must be removed, which is 10%. And then 10% of that Maiser is Truma, which has to be given by the Levi, or has to be given to the Kohen. In year 1 and 2, and 4 and 5, Maiser Sheni is taken, which, as we've learned, Maaser Sheni has to be taken to Yerushalayim to be eaten, or redeemed and taken up to Yerushalayim. In year 4 and 6, Maaser Sheni is not taken, but rather Maaser Oni is taken. And Rav teaches us that even though one could certainly suggest that Maaser Oni should be considered more lenient, because Maaser Ani could certainly be eaten by anyone. And as the Gemara says in many different places, even everybody could theoretically eat Maaser Ani, because people could become poor, or people have the opportunity to be mafker all of their assets, and then be considered aniyim, and therefore be able to eat Maaser Ani. Teaches us Rav, with everything that we just learned, the halacha is, the Maaser Ani, if Maaser Ani was not removed, it's considered Tevel. Machloikas Yerushalmi and Bavli, how far this Isser goes. According to the Bavli, as it seems from what we just learned, there'll be a Chiv Malkus, meaning even though normally the Chiv for eating Tevel is a Chiv of Misa B'dei Shemayim, this will be a different type of Tevel for which there'll be a Chiv Malkus. According to Yerushalmi, it's considered full-fledged Tevel, that just like in all other situations, if one eats Tevel, there's a Chiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, this too will carry with it a Chiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. Ask the Gemara, Kaman, whose opinion does Rav represent that says that not removing Maaser Ani creates an Isser Tevel? Says the Gemara, Kai Tana. He follows the opinion of the following Tana. The Tanya Amr Rabbi Yosi. One would think that the only thing that's considered Tevel is where there was no separation, nothing was removed. However, if the Truma was removed, but Maaserishin was not removed, maybe it's not Tevel. So Tosfos asks, how could the Gemara have a Havamina that if Maaserishin wasn't removed, it should not be considered Tevel? Haven't we just said that in the Maaserishin there is a portion which is Truma that must go to the Kohen? So therefore ask Tosfos, every Maaserishin has a Truma element in it. And we're explaining now that if Truma wasn't removed, everyone will be in agreement that's considered Tevel. So therefore the Mefarshim explained that it's referring to a situation where even though the Maaserishin wasn't removed, the Truma portion of the Maaserishin was removed and given to the Kohen. Furthermore, the Rishonim discuss the Issa Tevel, we could understand as an Issa for Yisrael, because Yisrael may not eat Truma. But a Kohen who is allowed to eat Truma, why would there be an Issa Tevel to a Kohen? What is the concern that this Truma mixed into this Tevel? The Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. So therefore, say the Rishonim, that it's not just enough that one should give truma to the kohen. There's a chiyuv of hafrosha, taking your grain and being mafresh from your grain the truma, and that chiyuv applies to kohanim as well as to Yisraelim. And if one didn't remove it, it's going to be considered tevel even for kohanim. Continues the Braisa. One would think that it's tevel if Maisa Rishon was removed, v'loy Maisa Sheni. But Fila Maisa Oni, continues the Braisa in teaching us, how do we know that it's still considered tevel even if just Maisa Oni, which as we explained at the beginning of the Shia, should be considered less stringent? How do we know that it's still considered tevel? Minayin, Tamaloima Lesucha Lecha B'Sherecha. The Torah used the words Lesucha Lecha B'Sherecha regarding food from which the trumas and maisas were not removed. Lahalon Oimer, regarding the pasuk of Maisa Oni, the Torah uses the words V'ochel V'Sherecha V'Sumeyu. Ma Lahalon, so just like when the Torah uses the words V'Sherecha in the second pasuk, it refers to Maisa Oni. So too the pasuk that teaches us this a tevel, we're going to say is referring to Maisa Oni. Vam Rachmana, and the Torah teaches us Leisuchal, that if Maisa Oni was not removed, it's going to be considered tevel. Suggest the Gemara, Am Reb Yosef, Ketanoi, this question, if Maisa Oni wasn't removed, is it or is it not considered tevel, perhaps is the subject of Machloikis Tanon. We know that Reb Yochanan, the Gemara says, that Chazal sent people out in Eretz Yisrael to see if the people were being careful in removing Trumas and Maisris, and they observed that their Meratzim were not being careful in removing Trumas and Maisris. And because the Amaratzim were not being careful to remove Trumas and Maisris, Chazal made a gzeira which is known as Demai, that when one buys produce from Amaretz, he needs to be concerned that the Amaretz did not properly remove Trumas and Maisris. Om Rabbi Yosef, Ketanoi, Rabbi Lezer Omer, if somebody bought produce from Amaretz, ain't tzarech likros Hashem al Maisa Oni Shodamai. He doesn't have to designate anything as Maisa Oni. Why? It seems because there's no problem of Tevel. The Chacham on the other hand say, Kairos Hashem. On one hand, he certainly has to designate Maisa Oni, for we need to be concerned that the Maisa Oni wasn't removed, just like the other true Maisers weren't removed. However, ain't it tzarech lahafrish. The Chacham agreed that he doesn't have to go through a hafrosha process. Machlokes Rishonim, what that means. Rashi and the Rosh explain that he has to say that he's designating, and in fact, not only say that he's designating, but that he's separating, but he also has to designate a place that it's going, that this is the Maisa Oni portion of this produce. According to other Rishonim, Tosfos, the Meiri, he actually has to be mafresh. He has to actually separate the Maisa Oni, but he doesn't have to give it. The reason he doesn't have to give it, and this halacha actually applies to the Mai of Maisa Rishon as well, because Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav Haraya. And therefore, if the Oni or the Levi come to claim that the Maisa Rishon or the Maisa Oni wasn't given, they have to be able to prove that it wasn't. Here it's only the Mai, here it's only a Sofik, and the Halacha is HaMaisa Mechaveir Olav Haraya, and they don't have to actually give it. But according to the Chachamim, they do have to go through the process of designating or even perhaps separating. Says the Gemara, my lav, what is this machloikus of Rabbi Eleza and the Rabbanan based on? My lav, b'hokarifki. It seems that the machloikus is exactly the subject that we began the shiur with. The masover vade tavloi. The Rabbanan are of the opinion that had mice oni not been removed, it would be considered tevel, and therefore we have to be very stringent. And therefore, when we have the mai, where there's a concern the Maisa Oni wasn't removed, we have to go through the process of Kairos Hashem. Or Masover, whereas Rabbi Lezer suggests the Gemara, is of the opinion, the Vadei and the Toivla, even if the Maisa Oni was certainly not removed, it still would not be Tevel. And therefore, here where it's a question of the Mai, it's only a Safik if it was removed, we could be even more lenient and not require anything to be done. Says the Gemara, Amalei Baya, Ihachi, if that is indeed the basis of the Machloikis of the Rabbanan and Rebbe Lezer, Adam Mifkli B'Sveika, why did they choose to argue specifically in a case regarding the Mai? They should have said even a stronger machloikis. They should have said, if we have vadai tevel, where we know for sure ma'aseh wasn't removed, what is its status? Is it considered tevel or not? And therefore, says the Gemara, the fact that they chose to only argue in a case of demai, not in a case of vadai tevel, kul alma, everybody agrees the vadai tevloi, that if ma'aseh was not removed, it's considered full-fledged tevel. As Rav said at the beginning of the shir, just what is the basis of the machloikis between Rebbe Lezer and Rabbanan? V'hacha b'hacha mufki. The basis of the machloikis is masover lo nechshtu ame'aretz amas ani shel demai. According to Rebbe Lezer, we're not concerned that they're not going to take off demai, because as the Rishonim explain, since ma'aser ani, as we said before, is Mamon She'en Le'Toivim. There is no specific individual to whom the Ma'aser Ani has to be given. So the Amaratzim feel that there is no problem to properly remove the Ma'aser Ani. And after they remove the Ma'aser Ani, since there's no one specific individual that they have to give that Ma'aser Ani to, they'll just keep it to themselves for themselves. And they won't consider that they've done gezel, even though we know that they certainly are careful not to do gezela. But they won't view this as a situation of gezela, because it's mamon she'en le'toivim. There is no one specific ani that they owe it to. So ask the Rishonim, why don't we say the same by ma'aser rishon and ma'aser sheni? So they explain, by ma'aser rishon, as we said at the beginning of our shir, as soon as the ma'aser rishon is removed, there's a chiyuv to give trumas ma'aser, which they know carries with it a very serious punishment. So that's where they take the approach, better not to designate the Ma'aser Rishon at all. Similarly, with Ma'aser Sheni, that they have to take the produce up to Yerushalayim, or they have to go through a redemption process where they have to add 20%, they don't want to go through that entire obligation, and therefore we're concerned that they won't take off the Ma'aser Rishon or the Ma'aser Sheni. However, as we explained, Ma'aser Ani doesn't come with all of these requirements, and that's why they take off the Ma'aser Ani. Kiv the Mamanahu, he'll keep it. A Frushi Mafresh, it doesn't bother him to take off the Ma'aser Ani. However, Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan are of, and that's why there is no Gzeira, coin term Lezer, of Demai by Ma'aser Ani. The Rabbanan, however, hold, Kiv the Trichle Milsa, since it's considered a Tircha, Loi Mafresh. So Mefarshim discuss what is the Tircha involved, and yes, separating the Ma'aser Ani. So some Rishonim explain that the Amaratzim, who are unlearned people, don't know that it's enough just to be Kairos Shem, just to designate a place. They think you have to go through an entire process. And since they think you have to go through an entire process, that's why they don't want to have the tircha of going through an entire process. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach wants to say, based on this Gemara, that we see from here that even when we're designating Ma'aser Ani, we do have to go through a calculation of figuring how much produce there is and how much has to be separated, which the Amaratzim considered a tircha, which they don't want to go through. Another pshat that Chazon Esh suggests, going back to what we discussed a moment ago, the Amaratzim aren't comfortable in separating the Ma'aser Ani and then not giving it to the Aniyim. They would prefer, he says, not to give it altogether than to be mafreshit and not give it. And therefore, he says, that's pshat in the Gemara, that they don't, that they, it's a trichle milsa. Another pshat is the Gra. The Gra says that the gears in the Gemara should not be the trichle milsa, but rather the proper gears in the Gemara should be the sanyale milsa. They hate anything that represents religion, and because they hate things that represent religion, they prefer not to go through the bother of taking off the Maaser on him. Kama Yochman a Tevel. So we learned in the Mishnah how much Tevel must be eaten that somebody should be Chayiv. We learned the Machloikis between Rav Shimon and the Rabbonim. According to Rav Shimon, if somebody eats a wheat kernel of Tevel, he's Chayiv. According to Rav Shimon, he has to eat a Kazayis. Amar Abibi Amar Rav Shimon Malakish Machloikis Bechita. The Machloikis is regarding a kernel of wheat. Avo Bekemach, when it comes to flour, says Rabibi, Diver Hakel, even Rav Shimon will agree that the shear is a Kazayis. Rav Yimi Amar Rav Shimon Malakish K'machloikis b'zu, kach machloikis b'zu. Just like the same machloikis that we have by a kernel of wheat, so too will we have by flour. According to Rabbanan, the shear is a kazayis in both cases, and according to Rav Shimon, the shear is a kalshul. Tanan says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Amalan Rav Shimon says, to the Chachamim, Iyatamaydim li, are you not going to agree to me? That if somebody eats an ant, even the size of a kol shehu, shuchayiv, and as Mepharshim say, even though the Mishnah and the Gemara say that the shear is a kol shehu, it has to be a kol shehu that's visible. And Rav Banan respond, indeed, when it comes to an amala, we agree, because memnei shikibur yosai, it's a barrier. So says Rav Shimon to Rabbanan, Omalam avchita achas, so too shall a kernel of wheat be considered kibriyosai. But what do we see? Where does Rav Shimon disagree with Rabbanan? Chita in, specifically he argues against them when it comes to speaking about a kernel of wheat. Kemach, when it'll come to flour, loy. Even Rav Shimon will agree that flour has to have a shear of kazayis, which is a question on Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that according to Rav Shimon, even by flour, the shear is a kol shehu. Says the Gemara, the way Rabbi Yirmiyah will explain the Mishnah is as follows. L'divrem kamulhu. Rav Shimon is speaking to Rabbanan according to your opinion. L'didhi, Rav Shimon says, according to me, afil kamachnami, even by flour, the shear is a kol shehu. Ela l'tchu, at least according to you, says Rav Shimon to Rabbanan, oidli miyas, d'chita achas kibriyosai, maybe you'll argue with me by flour, but you certainly should agree with me regarding a grain, a kernel of wheat, that it should be asr, Rabbanan. So why do indeed the Rabbanan differentiate between a namala and a kernel of wheat? Answer the Gemara, Rabbanan hold, birius neshama chashuva, a ant is something significant because it was born, it was created chashuv. Chita, on the other hand, a wheat kernel is not considered chashuv, and even though technically maybe it could be considered a barrier, it's not considered, it doesn't have the significance of a barrier, and therefore it's not choshev, and you need a shear of kazayis. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavos of Rav Yirmiyah, there's a brayse that corroborates the opinion of Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Shimon Oimer Kolshu Lamakis, Lamar Kazayis Elin Yikarben. The shear is always a kolshu, whether it's flour or whether it's a kernel of wheat. I, we have a shear of kazayis. Says Rav Shimon, the shear of kazayis is only as far as a hilchos carbon is concerned, that one brings the only mechuyev to bring a carbon when he ate a kazayis. But as far as malchus is concerned, even if he ate a kol shehu, he's chayiv. However, I did see that Rishonim suggest that even Rav Shimon, who says that as far as malchus is concerned, you have to have a kol shehu, that's only when you have the flour, in our case, that's tevel, not mixed into any other ingredients. But in a case where the flour is mixed into other ingredients, even Rav Shimon will agree, but taruvis, you'll have to have a shear. And then the Rishonim and Achronim discuss at great length, why is there a difference in halacha between as far as makas is concerned, where the shear is a kol shehu, and regarding carbon, where the shear is a kazayis. Some Rishonim want to suggest that it's a halach l'mashe m'sinai, as all shiurim are halach l'mashe m'sinai. But Ritva, as the Achronim explained the opinion of Ritva, takes a very different approach. He says as follows, this is the way the Achronim, there are a number of ways the Achronim explain what Ritva says. When is somebody chayiv a carbon? Somebody's chayiv a carbon if he did the aver b'shagig. So he didn't know that he's doing anything wrong. So if he ate a kazayis, so that act in itself even though he doesn't know he's doing an Aveira, is considered a significant act for which he's chayav a carbon. But if he didn't even eat a kezayis, where a chila of less than a kezayis is not considered an achila, he will not be chayav. Whereas, when is he chayav malchus? He's chayav malchus when he ate b'mezid. So as Rabbi Baruch Tam explains, the fact that he knows that he's doing the Aveira, that gives his achila a significance, even though it's just a kol shehu. Other achronim take the same approach, and they explain it this way. They say, we know that to be chayiv from eating something b'mezid, you have to have asra. So obviously, if this person's eating this food that's also to be eaten, and he was warned before he ate it that what he's doing is an aveira, that hasra gives him the chiyuv malchus, because that makes it a significant achila. The Chazon Ish explains it this way. Chazon Ish says that when somebody does an aveira b'shogeg, he can't be chayiv for what he's thinking, because he's not thinking that he's doing an aveira. He's only chayiv for his action, and to be considered an achila, it has to be the shear of a kezayis. When somebody is chayiv for doing an aveira b'mezid, explains the Chazon Ish, he's not chayiv for his action. He's chayiv for his decision to violate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. That doesn't require a shear. That decision to violate the mitzvah of the Torah makes him chayiv. And actually, this question has ramifications and a number of interesting questions. One question that I saw, the Mefarshim want to use this Gemara to discuss, is if somebody can't eat a shear of a kezayis of matzah, or let's say he's doesn't have a whole kezayis of matzah, should he eat at least a half a kezayis? Could he eat what he can? So one would think, well, why not? The answer, some mefarshim want to suggest, is that to know what the Torah says, there's a concept about toisif, that we're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs of the Torah, and there's a concept about tigra, we're not allowed to diminish. So if this person up front knows that he will not be able to eat a kezayis of matzah, maybe he shouldn't eat any matzah at all, because it's a situation about sigra. There are mefarshim that say there's no about tigra, but mitzvahs are say. So Moshe indeed says that there is no chiyuv of eating less than a kezayis of matzah. He says, because even though our Gemara clearly indicates that there's a lav, that one can be chayiv malchus even when he eats less than a shear of a kezayis, he says, which is actually the concept of achshavei, as the way we explained it, he gives it significance. Says Rav Moshe, achshavei is only by mitzvahs loisasei, as our Gemara is discussing, about eating something one's not allowed to eat. But when it comes to mitzvahs asei, there is no concept of achshavei. And he brings a raya from Gemara Masechet Pesachim, that says, we know that the Korban Pesach was typically brought for an entire group of people, and if there was a group of people that were old and sick, then no one in that group is able to eat a kezayis of the Korban Pesach. We couldn't bring the Korban Pesach on behalf of that group. So we see that achila of less, Ramesh wants to suggest, that the achila of less than a kezayis is not considered an achila, and one wouldn't have an obligation to eat the matzah under those circumstances. There are many achronim that dispute this. They say that our Gemara, on the contrary, is a proof that even an achila of less than a kezayis, if somebody has intent to eat it, it gives it significance. And therefore, certainly, if one neber can't eat a kezayis or doesn't have a kezayis of matzah, he should eat what he can. Up to the point that I saw there are some achronim that want to suggest that he could even make a brocha of achilas matzah. On the other hand, I saw another question. Let's say somebody needs to take a medicine and he's concerned about the kashrus of the medicine. So certainly in a situation where he's a chayla sheyesh by sakana, the halacha is one is allowed to eat anything under those circumstances. But let's say the individual we're discussing is a chayla sheyesh by sakana, and he doesn't necessarily have to have the medicine, and the medicine is not kosher, but he's going to eat, but he doesn't need to take the prescription, and the medicine doesn't require that he should eat a kezayis. So will that make it less of a problem, given that it's less than a kezayis what he's eating? And there are achronim, and so there are achronim that want to suggest that our Gemara is teaching us that if that's the amount you're taking and that's what's important to you, that should make it usur. However, most achronim are of the opinion that regarding such a situation, we will not say achshavei. Achshavei we could only say regarding a situation, as the Chazon Ish said, the fact that he deliberately is doing an aveira, that shows that this amount is significant to him. Or he got asra, as the other achroidim say. Here, he's just taking the prescription. That certainly will not be considered achshavei, and therefore, if somebody needs to take a medicine, and he's a cholish ebay sakana, and he's taking less than the shir achila, certainly there's room to be more lenient. Says the Mishnah. We know that the halacha was that bikurim, the first fruit, a portion of first fruit of the Zayin Minim had to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And when it's brought to the Beis HaMikdash, as we're going to be learning in our Shiurim, there was a whole process where it had to be placed by the Mizbeach, and one had to also read the Parsha. There's actually a question, where does the Parsha begin, what he has to read? Rashi says, in our Mishnah, he starts from Arami Ovi. However, the Mefarshim say that if we look in the Parsha, in Parsha's Kisovai, it says Uvas al Koyin Vimatalov Higarati Hayoy, which seems to indicate that we begin at an earlier point. So some Mefarshim want to suggest that it's only the first year that they brought Bikurim that they had to start from Higarati Hayoyim. And subsequent years they started from Rami Ovid Ovi. The other Mefarshim say that we do begin, the Sikh Yitzchak says we do begin from Hagarati Hayoim, but Hagarati Hayoim is done before it's placed on the Mizbeach, and then after it's placed by the Mizbeach, then they begin reading from Rami Ovid Ovi, which is what Rashi is first focused on. So Ach Bikurim Achalai Karalayim, or Kachi Kachim, if somebody eats Kachi Kachim, Chatas and Oshim, Chutz L'Kloim, Kachim Kalim Umaisi Sheni Chutz L'Choyma. And the Mefarshim asks, the Ritva asks, why by Kachim Kachim does the Gemara use the word Chutz L'Kloim, and by Kachim Kalim Umaisi Sheni does the Mishnah use the words Chutz L'Choyma? This is referring to the Mishkan, and this is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, but they have the same halachic designation. So Ritva says, the Mishnah is focused on the wording of the Pasuk. By Kachim Kachim, the Pasuk uses the words Bechatsar oil moed yachlua. By Kachim Kalim, the Pasuk says B'mokim asher yivcher. So the Mishnah is following the wording of the Psukim in the Torah. Hashoyves etzem bePesach ator. If somebody breaks a bone of a Karman Pesach that's brought b'tahara, when most people are tahar, hareiz aloik abon. So Mefarshim asks two questions on this din. The din that if somebody breaks a bone of the Karban Pesach is an explicit pasuk in the Torah. What does the Mishnah have to teach us this din? Furthermore, why does the Mishnah use the word Hashoiver Eso Etzem, the bone? Why does the Mishnah use the words Hashoiver Etzem? So Mefarshim teach us that one answer. The Gemara in Masechta Pesachim teaches us that the bone that one may not break from a Karban Pesach is a bone that has marrow in it. That's why Mishnah uses the words ha-etzem, the specific bone, the bone that has marrow. And the Mishnah now is teaching us a halacha. Since, as we learned in our previous shiur, there's a very strong isser of leaving over anything from the Karban Pesach, so here we have a bone that has in it marrow, that has in it food. One would think that that bone may be broken to remove the food, to avoid the Isser Nicer. Teaches us the Mishnah, no, that's the specific bone which may not be broken. Aval HaMois B'tar, if somebody leaves over from a Karban Pesach that's tar, there's no Chiv Malkus, as we're going to learn, and we learned in the previous year three reasons. One reason is because it's a lav hanitik lasei, because it could be repaired by burning. Another reason is because it's a lav sheva maisa. And a third reason we learned in the previous year is because it's a situation of asra sofik, and asra sofik loishma hasra. Vashoiv betomet, and similarly, if somebody breaks a bone of Karan Pesach that's brought betomah, there ain't a loike a bone. Machlokes achroinim, Mishnah clearly teaches us that there's no iser deraisa in breaking a bone of a Karan Pesach that's brought betomah. Will there be an iser derabonim? The Miches Chinuch says there won't even be an iser derabonim. The Sfasem says there will be an iser derabonim. He says because if this year, when the Karan Pesach was brought betomah, he'll be able to break a bone, somebody could come to make the error that in all Karban Pesach, the halach is you're allowed to break a bone. And next year, when Baruch Hashem be able to bring the Karban Pesach, but Tahara, he'll make the terrible mistake of breaking a bone. We also discussed in our previous shir the din of Shiluach HaKein, where the Torah says that if Kikar Kan Tzipel Fanecha, if one finds a nest of a mother and it's young, you may not take the mother. Actually, there's a machloikis rishonim. If one is over the lav, if he takes the mother, or if he's over the lav, even if he takes only the mother, or if he needs to take the mother and the baby to be over the lav. But teaches us Rabbi Yehuda loikav einim shaleach. If he took the mother, or the mother and the baby, he's chayiv malchus, and there's nothing to do that he could send it away in the future. And the simplest way, as we said in our previous year, of understanding this, is that machloikus Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, is this considered a lav hanitik lasei? Yehuda says, it's not a lav hanitik lasei, and therefore the malchus is in place as soon as he was over the lav. The Chacham hold, it's a lav hanitik lasei. And therefore, Zach Klal, and the Mishnah indeed summarizes that this is the rule. Kol mitzvah leisa se shesh bikum vasei. Any lava nitik lasei ain chayov and alav. There is no chiyuv malchus. So our Mishnah began with the halacha of bringing bikurim before saying the psukim, and teaching us that if somebody brings bikurim before the psukim that were supposed to be said, he's chayiv malchus. This represents the opinion of Akiva Sismasah. Why is it called Akiva Sismasah? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat is because many stam mishnayis, many times where Akiva's opinion is stated in a Mishnah, his opinion is stated without attributing it to his name. So that's why a Mishnah that has an opinion without a name is called Akiva Sismasah, because it's stam Mishnah. Follows his opinion. Another pshat that I saw is that we learned the Gemara in Masech the Sanhedrin. Stam Mishnah is Rameya, Stam Tesefta is Rab Nechemya, Stam Sefer Rab Yehuda, Stam Sefri is Rab Shimon. And all of these individuals were Talmidim of Rab Akiva. So that's why the Gemara calls him Sismasah, because since so many Talmidim of his were people that we follow Stam. Aval Chamayim, the Chama disagree. And they are of the opinion, Bikurim Hanochem Akevas Behem, putting them by the Mizbeach is what, putting them by the Mizbeach, until it's put by the Mizbeach, they may not be eaten from. Kriya, but the Kriya that comes afterwards is not essential, Eim Akevas Behem. Ask the Gemara, V'lei Mezud Diver of Shimon Sismasah, instead of saying that this Mishnah reflects the opinion of Akiva, why don't say it reflects the opinion of Shimon? And as the Rishonim explained, because we don't have any explicit brisa telling us that this is Rabbi Kiva's opinion, that if one eats, the one may not eat the bikurim before the kriya. But we do, as we're about to learn, have a brisa that says Rabbi Shimon holds that way. So wouldn't it be better to say that our Mishnah reflects his opinion, which is explicit? Says the Gemara, that's exactly what Rabbi Bavachana wanted to teach us. Hakamashman, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, Sfirlei, Rabbi Kiva agrees with Rabbi Shimon. My Rav Shimon, where do we find Rav Shimon having this opinion? The Tanya. There's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Lesucha lecho b'sharecha, masa degoncha v'siroishcha v'itzarecha, u'bekaris bekarcha v'tzaynecha, v'chol nederecha ashatida v'nedvaisecha u'trumas yodecha." And Rav Shimon explains that pasuk. The Gemara is going to quote a lengthy brisa where Rav Shimon's opinion is quoted. And after the lengthy brisa is quoted, the Gemara will explain the brisa. The Tanya, V'trumas yotcha, eila bikurim. when the pasuk speaks about Trumas Yatcha, it means the Bikurim, because as we've learned, the pasuk says, the Torah teaches us we have to bring the Bikurim with our hands. Rav Shimon, what does the pasuk want to teach us? If the pasuk is teaching us that one may not eat Bikurim outside the walls of Yerushalayim, we can make a kavachim in my sakal. And as I said, the Gemara is going to explain it on the base. My sakal, if a maisa, which is more lenient than Bikurim, one gets malchus for eating them outside of Yerushalayim, Bikurim lekoshkein. The pasuk has come to teach us that if one eats the Bikurim before he read the psukim, shulaika, that he gets malchus. Because we learn it with an imeina inyan. Imeina inyan davazeh, tenei leinyan acher. And from here, in fact, the Mefarshim say that malchus could be given based on a limud of an imeina inyan. Unit vasecha, continues Rav Shimon explaining the pasuk, refers to Toyd of Shlomim. And again, says Rav Shimon, Ma bol zelam dein. What does the Torah want to teach us with this? Im loichel chutz l'chaimer. If the Torah has come to teach us that one may not eat toyd of shlam outside of Yerushalayim, again we can make a kavachaimer for ma'isa. Halay ba kosev aloichel b'toyd of shlam of nei zrika, that one eats them even before zrika, shloika, that he gets malchus. Ubechayre zur bechar. Again, amar b'shem ma bol zelam dein. Im loichel chutz l'chaimer, to teach us that one may not eat the bechar outside of Yerushalayim, you can make a kavachaymer ma'isa. If to teach us that you're not allowed to eat bechor lefnei zrika, one can learn that from a kavachaymer from toyd of shlomim. Halaybar kosev el oichel when a bechor afil la'ach zrika. The Torah is teaching us that even after zrika, if somebody, some of a zor, a non-kayin, eats on the bechor, shulaykum. Bechor chav tzayin chazuchat tzoshim. Says Rav Shimon, Amar Shimon, ma'bazelim deinu. Im lochlam chutz lochaymer, to teach us that you're not allowed to eat a matzah Yerushalayim, that we learn kavachaymer ma'isa. To teach us that there's an issa to eat it lefnei zrika, the chatis v'asham, we can learn that with kavachaymer from toyd v'shlamim. To teach us that there's an issa l'achaz zrika, we can learn from kavachaymer b'char. Habar l'kosev, what is the pasuk teaching us? Lochlam chatis v'asham, afil l'achaz zrika v'chutz l'kloim. If somebody eats, even if a kohen eats from a chatas and oshem after the zrika, but he eats it outside of the klayim, shalika, that he gets malchus. Even though we have a mitzvah to say for this, now we're teaching us Rav Shimon that there's a loisa say for which there will be malchus. Nederechazu oila. Am Rav Shimon ma'bazelim deinu. Im locha chutz l'chaim. If the teacher that one may not eat the oila outside of Yerushalayim, we can make a chavachaim and ma'isa. If of nei zrika, we can make a kavachaim retired with shlomim. Im lach zrika, we can learn a kavachaim from Bechor. Im chutz l'klayim, we can learn a chattis v'osh, we can learn a kavachaim v'oshan. Halabak, also, what does the Torah want to teach us with this then? Ela oichem m'na'oila lach zrika afil b'fnim. Even if somebody eats from the oila, ach zrika, even inside the azara, shalika, that it gets malchus. Amarava, after hearing this brisa, commented Rava, delay the imei Rav Shimon Taylor. If somebody has a child, she have a child like Rav Shimon. Vilei loy loy Taylor. The Farshim explained that the Mishnah's teaching us is that when a woman gets pregnant and she davens for her child, she should daven that she should have a child like Rav Shimon. Or others explain when somebody's being mispallel, not specifically this woman, that he's being mispallel, that somebody should have children, not only should he be mispallel that person should have children, but he should mispallel that he should have fine children just like Rav Shimon. However, I did see another pshat. We know that the Gemara says that when a woman is a yoledes, the Torah says that when a woman is a yoledes, she has to bring a karban chatas. And the Gemara explains, why does she have to bring a karban chatas? What averit she do? The answer is that when a woman goes through the pain of labor, she makes a nether that she will no longer have children. Teaches us the Gemara. A woman makes a nether that she's not going to have children. But if she has children, like Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that nether will never be a valid nether because she had such wonderful children. And in fact, This is the source of the famous minig, that people, when they give their children their first haircut, they take them to Miron, to the kever of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, because our Gemara is teaching us how great Rav Shimon ben Yochai was. And that's part of the famous song that's sung by the kever on Lag BaOmer, the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, where the Gemara says, Ashrei Yulad Asecha, where we say Ashrei Yulad Asecha, because that's our Gemara. Furthermore, there's a machloikis rishonim. What is the proper girsa in our Gemara? Some take out the word v'iloi loy teled, because it's very hard to understand. Yes, it's great to have a child as great as Rav Shimon ben Yochai, but if someone doesn't have a child as great as Rav Shimon ben Yochai, loy teled, he shouldn't have children. So I saw a very beautiful pshat. We know the Gemara says there was a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. If noich loy l'odom shenivra mishloy nivra, would it be better for a person to be created, or is it better that he wouldn't be created? So Gemara says, Nimnu v'gamru, they took a vote and they all came to the conclusion, Noach lo shalai niver mishanivra, it would be better that he should never been created. Why is it better that he shouldn't be created? So all the Mefarshim explained, because a person is more likely to do aveiros than to do mitzvahs. But teaches us our Gemara, somebody as great as Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who spent his life learning Torah, who spent his life doing mitzvahs, by him you can't say loy teled, that would have been better shloy nivra, it's better than he should not have been created. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, with his life, certainly is a life that was worth living. Says the Gemara, v'avgav this l'pircha, even though this entire brisa that we just learned from Rav Shimon ben Yochai will actually be refuted, still it represents great learning. And the Gemara goes through. Rav Shimon ben Yochai said that we can learn Bikurim from Maisa. What was the Chumra that Rav Shimon ben Yochai identified Bikurim of a Maisa? Shekein Asur L'Zorim. Bikurim may not be eaten by Zorim, Maisa may be. On the other hand, says the Gemara, Adarabba, we have a Chumra of Maisa over Bikurim, Shekein Asur Oinen. Oinen may not eat Maisa, but according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, a Kain who's a Oinen may eat Bikurim. Furthermore, says the Gemara, my chumra the toid of shlomo ma'isa. Why did Rav Shimon say that we could certainly learn the halacha of toid of shlomo from ma'isa? Because toid of shlomo more chumra. Because toid and shlomim require matad damim ve'murim legabim mizbeach. Adrabba, says the Gemara, you could suggest the ma'isa is chumra. Shekein tun and kasef tzura. And as Rishonim explained, although one may not redeem an animal that was designated for a carbon, unless it gets a mum, but once it gets a mum, any money can be used to redeem that animal. Whereas Maisa, the halacha is, you have to use coined silver to effect the redemption. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara wanted to say that we can learn the halacha of Toid v'Shlam from Bechor. Shekein Kudushas Merechem. Because Bechor is holy from the moment it's born. Adarabba, one can make the suggestion that Toid v'Shlam Chamurim, because when the Toid v'Shlam are brought, you have to do smicha on the carbon, you have to bring along the sochim, you have to do tenufas chaz v'shoik, that doesn't have to be done b'char. And then the Gemara said that we can learn the halach of chatas and osham from b'char. My chrum the chatas osham b'char, why do we say the chatas osham are more chamed than b'char? Because chatas osham are kachi kachim. Says the Gemara, on the other hand, one can argue, Adrabba, the Bechor is Chomer, because as we just said, Bechor is Kudushas Merachim from the moment it's born. My Chumra, what did Gemara want to say? We certainly can learn the halacha of an Oila from a Chatzis from Osham. What makes Oila Chomer? She can't call it because it's completely burnt. One could argue that Adrabba, Chatzis for Osham Achamiri are more Chomer. She can't Mechapri. They affect the Kapara. And even though, as the Rishonim point out, certainly the Gemara does suggest that when one brings a carbon oila, he has a kapara. But the Torah doesn't specifically say that when one brings a carbon oila, he has a kapara. It's only that the Gemara says that we learn that it brings a kapara. Whereas the chatz for asham are brought for specific sins, and when one brings those karbonas, those specific sins are forgiven. Ela, Rekulam chamir mi oila, and one could suggest that all kabonis are more chamer than oila. This b'shtei achilas, all kabonis, there's an element that's eaten by the owners or by the kohanim, and there's a part that's eaten by the Mizbeach. A carbon oila is only eaten by the Mizbeach. And as the Rishonim explained here too, the Ritva says, normally we say that the fact that the oila is kolol, is completely burnt on the Mizbeach, represents a chumra in a carbon oila. Here we're saying it's not a chumra. So Rishonim explained what the Gemara means to say is, the fact that the oila is different than the other kabbonis in this way prevents us from learning one from the other. Says the Gemara, if so, that Rav Shimon's entire brisa has been refuted, how do we understand the introductory remarks that we learned, El Maidi Elaydi Imik Rav Shimon? What's so great about Rav Shimon? His brisa was refuted. Answers the Gemara, the Maidi Sfir Leledei, according to his thinking, that Mesaris Lelekra Vidarshlei, that he turns over the entire pasuk. Because if he would have learned the pasuk in the order that the pasuk lists the items, first Maiseh Sheni, then Bechor, then Chatz V'Asham, then Oila, then Toid V'Shlomim, and then Bikurim, he couldn't arrive at the limud that he came to. He only came to that limud because he inverted the pasuk and learned the last din of the pasuk before the first din of the pasuk, before the prior din. That shows brilliance in learning. And as Mefarshim explained, that was the entire concept of what Rav Shimon ben Yochai was known for. He was able to delve into the Pnimius HaTorah. Rav Shimon ben Yochai was the one that wrote the Zohar. And this is an example of such brilliance in Torah learning that Rav Shimon ben Yochai was famous for, and that we deserve the concept, the compliment of the Eleidei Imak Rav Shimon. Ask the Gemara, but a different question. How could Rav Shimon suggest that we could learn these halachas, v'chimasir min adin, can we use a kal v'chaymer to develop an isser? Says the Gemara, afil man dama oinch min adin. We've had a machloikas previously, if we could determine what is the punishment for an aveira based on a kal v'chaymer, everybody agrees, emasir min adin. And as Mefarshim explained, in the case of oinch min adin, we're referring to a situation that we know that this is an aveira. That's not the question. The only question is, what is the punishment? So there, perhaps, we could use a kal v'chaymer to determine what the punishment is. But to take something that we don't even know is an aveira and use a kal v'chaymer to identify that's an aveira, can we do so? Answers the Gemara, all Rav Shimon meant was isur ba'alma. All he meant was that it's an isser to eat these things, not that it would carry with it a chi of malchus. So what do we need to know? What is a nafkamina if it's in Suruba Alma? So the Mefarshim give a number of nafkaminas lahalacha. One is, if we have a number of foods in front of us, all of them having a halachic issue, and somebody must eat, otherwise he'll die. So he should eat the food that carries with it the least isser. So we need to know that if something has only an isser asay, whereas here, Rav Shimon says that carries an isser lav with it, even if there is no punishment, that will be more of an issue. Or, as we know, one is supposed to spend all of his money to avoid doing a mitzvah sleisasei. He only has to spend a chaymish, 20% of his money, to do a mitzvah sleisasei. So Rav Shimon is identifying that these foods are considered isura, and one has to spend all of the money that he can to avoid eating something that's isser. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Rav Shimon meant that it's only an isser, but not a chi of malchus? From a Rava, Zosh Achman Oilof Nezrika Chutz L'Chaima Chayke Chamish. He's over 5 malchus, but here we're saying that it's not malchus; it's only an isser. Answers the Gemara that what Rava meant was Chemisha Surin Hava. It's only 5 Yisurim, not really Malkus, because Rav Shimon never intended to create an Issa Malkus, because a Chi of Issa Malkus cannot be created through a Kal V'Chaymer.